Welcome to the My Crazy Office podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Catherine Crowley. They're committed to creating world peace, one crazy office at a time. And now, here are Kathy and Catherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Catherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
So today we got a question that involves someone who's dealing with a competitive, controlling coworker.
Ugh.
I hope this wasn't one of you sending it in about me. All right. Anyway, the person asking the question wants to know what to do when a colleague takes over on a shared project.
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That
I feel
is
that pain.
So frustrating. And actually, I hope our listeners will send more questions like this to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
So, Logan, what's the question?
I work at a major healthcare company, and I'm grappling with a coworker who keeps getting in my business. She and I are supposed to be working as a team on a major project together, but she's literally taken over every aspect of the project. When we hold a meeting, she makes the agenda and runs the meeting. When we report our progress to our supervisor, she insists on taking the lead, interrupting me whenever I try to answer a question. She also makes decisions that have to do with my area of expertise without telling me. This situation is driving me crazy. What can I do?
Yeah, this is trouble because
if you try
to step in, or like if you try to cut her out or you go and complain, none of that really works.
No,
not with this kind of person.
Yeah, so what I've learned with people like this is to just let them do what they're going to do.
Uh-huh.
I make sure my boss knows that, you know, I'm just letting her or him or whatever do this That's just, they're operating this way and it's not working for me. So this is not a person I can really share my work with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I would try to never work with this person again if you can. Like, get away. Because, right? Nobody likes this kind of person in a company.
No one does. Although this kind of person can sometimes convince the person just above, like leadership, that they'll take on anything and do everything and solve any problem. They can be, you know, position themselves as the go-to person.
Yeah, but eventually even the bosses see, oh, this person is stepping in other people's lanes.
Right. However, until that eventuality comes, it's very hard to, just as you're saying, work with this kind of individual.
So what do you say? Go and appeal to them and say, look, I'm going to do this. And you're going to do that. Let's share this project, please. I mean, you go and appeal to them.
I don't know if you do that. I think what you could do, I mean, I'm actually more along the you go with the flow, but I'm thinking behind the scenes, you may want to be working on finding other projects for you to be focusing on where you can actually be seen and you can shine. Because to have this is the only thing, and she or he, whomever it is hogging all of the territory.
And what is this based in? This is some kind of insecurity.
Their behavior, yes.
Yeah, right. Yes. It's based on the fact that they think that if they have to share, they're not going to be seen.
Yeah, they don't trust. Well, usually, ironically, this kind of person does not usually have very high self-esteem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
So, because at the core, they feel as if they must do everything to have any value.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they must take over. They must constantly show how valuable they are, because otherwise they're nothing. That's sort of how they feel, I think, internally.
Yeah, so I think that's the problem. You're running up against this person not trying to hurt you, but actually trying to protect themselves.
Right.
And it's not a professional issue. It's a personal issue. So when you run up against this, you're running into somebody else's sort of psychological pathology. And that's why you can't really
win.
You're
in a pathology struggle. Yeah. You're right. Actually, what I'm thinking is, I think sometimes with this kind of person, one of the ways, which we've talked about, I know, in Mean Girls at Work and some other of our books, is that it's actually helpful to acknowledge them. One of the things that they need is acknowledgement. Because
they need credit.
Giving them credit, exactly.
Well, they're kind of credit stealers.
Well, they are credit stealers, but it will work better for you than trying to grab back the territory.
Okay.
Because then you'll be in a power struggle. Then
I mean, could you appeal and say, look, I know you like, you know, you like to do the work yourself, mm-hmm. and maybe you don't trust me, or, you know, maybe you just really like to take all this work on. Mm-hmm. But I am your teammate. So yeah. What are you willing to let me do? Maybe mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, or, you could ask that question. Good. That's pretty straightforward. And I also think you could say, like, for example, that was an amazing agenda and you ran a great meeting. They talked about going into their territory, right? Mm-hmm. But you could say, when it comes to this specific area, I'd really prefer if you'd at least consult with me
mm-hmm. right.
first. I mean, I know you're very efficient and that you can do so much more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There's something in there, I think, about acknowledging them. Basically,
they need credit because of the low self-esteem. And yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are people that are just controlling in general. They don't.
Yes.
They don't really trust that anyone else is going to do as good a job or better than them.
Right.
So they hoard work.
Right.
Yeah. If you're like that, you're not liked. People don't like that.
You know what I'm thinking about, Kathy? We have all these videos under Ask K2 yes. and YouTube, right? And the most popular one is the control freak
yeah.
manager.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, because you're right, they are so difficult to deal with because not only do they take everyone's work and become a bottleneck, but they also tend to shoot holes in anyone else's mm-hmm. performance.
Mm-hmm.
That's, again, part of what they have to do to build themselves up.
Yeah, and they're also very fast. Like, if they see they'll fill a void. If they see work has to get done, they just go
right.
do it.
Right.
And yeah. then that was none of their business. It wasn't
right.
their mm-hmm. job to do that.
Right.
And then they cut other people out of communication. They're really...
They don't have many yeah. friends.
Right.
No, they don't have many workplace friends.
It's a lonely existence.
It is.
Being controlling and competitive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's not something that, you know, your manager can maybe tell you this, but this really
yeah.
requires, I think, seeing a shrinky dink. I really do. I don't think you're going to get that kind of support at work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're right. And because it is psychological, like you're saying, you're bumping up against the person's pathology. The other piece is that you can check in on your own concerns. Like if you're someone who has a hard time being visible, for example, this is a very challenging situation to
mm-hmm.
be in. So what can you do? That's what I was referring to other things is I think you have to keep building your relationships outside of this one big project where you are seen, where you can demonstrate some of your talents, where you can find more allies who will no doubt know what you're dealing with this individual.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know that you necessarily have to go complain about this person, but I think you definitely should inform
uh-huh.
your managers
yeah.
that you're bumping up against this and that you hope they're going to take care of it.
Right.
You know, maybe give you work separate and
going forward, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really know what other options you have.
Well, the other thing that could be interesting is
maybe, yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say keep your door closed if you I mean, I would No,
I have a few important phone calls to make. No one bother me until 5.
But in a way, you do kind of have to keep tabs on them because they may
yeah.
go do stuff and then you'll find
yeah.
out.
Well, that's the other thing is I would make it a habit. That's why I guess I was talking about the complimenting. If you say, God, you do such nice work and you run such great meetings and I'd love to be in on the next one.
I'd like to participate
yeah,
in
exactly.
this team project.
How can I support you? I mean, that I'm sure that feels
almost
awful. Sleazy, right?
Yeah.
But that is something that this individual can hear because that's what they're doing it all for to begin with,
mm-hmm.
is to be seen and to be front and center and to be experienced as the only one
mm-hmm.
who can do it.
Mm-hmm. The cutting off thing is really...
Interrupting you, yeah.
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 But then would supervisors not say anything if they saw that?
Well,
like, oh, well, such and such was just speaking. Can you let such and such finish their statement? Or
well, hopefully they do, but a lot of managers don't like to confront behavior.
Right.
That's right.
Right.
They confront workplace, you know, work, but not behavior. And
right.
I mean, I think, you know, maybe that's the kind of thing you can talk to this person in private about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their anxiety.
Right.
Still, I think... or, I mean, you, even in a meeting, I have a client who's dealing with this right now. She works with a coworker who physically jumps in front of her when she's talking to her boss and cuts her off. And, you know, she's had to take her aside, and it's worked. And she said, look, that's just rude. Don't do that to me. I understand what you have to say is important. I'm going to get out in a minute. You know, let me finish. And she's had to do it several times before it could be heard, and it's finally seeping in.
That's so interesting.
Yeah, it took
a
while. Actually,
that's a really good point, because one thing you can do, Logan, with this kind of person is prepare. Right. So if you are going to go meet with the boss, the two of you, you could script like, I want to, this is the territory I want to cover. Now the person may still interrupt, but once they, after they've interrupted, you can say, well, let me just come back in with my piece of information here or, you know, whatever you've, but you have to do it ahead of time.
Right. Right.
And even then, there's no guarantee.
You know, I also think this person is accustomed to people not liking them.
Yeah.
Or people giving them this feedback. Is that right?
Usually they have a story that they're misunderstood, or this is just who I am, or I'm the truth teller, or I'm the only one who has the real information. Yeah, they've got a story in their head of why they're not liked.
Ah, I see.
So, or you know, I'm the efficient one. I'm really the one who gets everything done, and no one likes, people resent that.
Right. Yeah. That's a real, that, yeah. People
when
resent
what you
that.
Really not, resent.
Well, actually.
That's not really it.
Did you ever have, do you ever work with someone like this, Kathy?
That's what I'm wondering if it was me.
No.
I mean, I'm usually the, if somebody is like this, I let them just, you know, go.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, you know, usually because I'm laughing at them and being kind of nice, they usually will then come and say, oh, I have this problem, you know, I have this problem. And then they confide in me, and then I get to help them.
Right.
That's just my method. Not everybody is good at that.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's also different from being on a team with someone, which this specific thing, you know, working on a project. But I think it's a good point when you, the problem is when you get caught in the power struggle of it. And I will say that I had this once when I was working as a recruiter for the Peace Corps, where I had a colleague who always interrupted me and always talked over me. And I don't know that I handled it particularly well. I'd get really angry. And then eventually I did tell my manager at one point, and she said, everyone knows that this is a problem. That was a relief. Like, okay, this isn't me.
Right.
Because I think you can feel that way, that somehow you must be falling short. Okay.
All right. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. And if you have any further questions or thoughts on this topic, just tweet us at AskK2. That's A-S-K-K, the number 2.
If you want to get on our email list, you can also text us at 22828 and type in My Crazy Office, all one word. That's 22828 My Crazy Office. And you can also follow us on Instagram at My Crazy Office. We'll be right back.
Want to be a hot shot in your new job? Do you have a fancy new suit, but you're tired of wearing it to the same old office? Aren't you bored of staring out the window at Starbucks, wondering what happened to your dream career? If you answered yes to any of the above, stop what you're doing and give K-Squared a call. I mean it. K-Squared Executive Coaching will help you accomplish your career objectives and help you navigate the obstacles holding your career hostage. Simply go to our website, ksquaredenterprises.com, to learn more about our executive coaching and how we can help you. Come on, go ahead. You can do it. And now, back to our show.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. I thought we'd continue on that topic and talk about how do you handle your own responses when someone is controlling and competitive with you at work? And are you the one who wants to argue? Do you badmouth the person? I mean, that's a favorite. Do you tell them off? Do you report their behavior to HR? And what really works? Like, what is it you do? Because I think people definitely, you know, talk behind this person's back.
Yes, for sure. I had a client, a male client who has a female colleague who does this all the time. And he has tried everything from confronting her to talking behind her back, to going to her boss, to I think at one point he said, let's just have a reasonable conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, he has tried everything, and the only thing that works is not reacting.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
No, I believe that.
Which is so hard for people to do.
Well, you're at work. You've got a lot of things to do. And the last thing you need is somebody, you know, bringing their psychological issues into the workplace, which, by the way, everyone is. But, you know, this is a tough
one. This is so obvious.
Well, I think that pretty much says it all, Catherine. Yeah. He's tried all these methods and none of them really worked. I mean, I think this person can count on not being liked. And there's a lot of bad mouthing and people are shrugging their shoulders, rolling their eyes, doing all that stuff when there's somebody in the office they don't like.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They can count on that. But that's what I was saying before, that's the way I would handle it, is I would just let them do their thing, kind of smirking and laughing the whole time.
Yes. Mm. Well, and I actually, Kathy, I think what's interesting is when you let a controlling competitive person do their thing, if you react, what happens, and this is what happened for my client, and this has happened to me, if you react, you look like the problem.
And it makes it worse.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're a complainer, or you're just jealous, or you can't share the stage, whatever.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you just let them do their thing and you stay neutral and you continue to do your job, whatever it is in the situation, then their behavior is right out there.
Right.
It's really obvious.
Yeah, it's probably one of the hardest things to do in the world, other than maybe fly an airplane. I mean, I think it's really difficult to not react to the nut in the office.
Yeah. Right.
Really difficult. But that is ultimately what does work.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Is to just sort of watch it and let everybody see what they're doing. Don't try to cover it.
Right.
Don't try to, you know, talk them out of not doing it.
Right.
But let them basically fail.
Yeah. Right. And to do that internally, what you have to do is you've got to learn ways to calm your own system down.
Right.
Because if you are someone like this person, if you're someone who can't stand a bully or can't stand being controlled or can't stand being put down or devalued, this is going to be a very challenging person for you, right? So you have to then use whatever technique. I was going to say our unhooking. We talk about unhooking physically, mentally, verbally, but you have to literally find ways to calm your system down and say, it's okay. You know, this is, and you're not going to be the one to render justice. Justice will be rendered by virtue of not reacting.
Right. This is a really tough message to give people. And, I think if you bad mouth, that's okay with me. It's probably not okay with Catherine. She doesn't approve of that.
Eye rolling works for me. No, I like sarcastic compliments. I think that's always a good one.
Oh, no. That person,
you say the sweetest things. No, I think it's really challenging, and I have done everything under the sun in response to this kind of person. I think, actually, we had someone who used to work with us who, remember people who were controlling on the bus, she'd kick them or trip them.
Oh, my God. She would trip them. Yes.
So you may want to trip the person. You may want to set their desk on fire.
It didn't work for her either. It did not work. It backfired. And by the way, she didn't have many friends.
Well, yeah.
So, but revenge fantasies are normal and natural, and especially with someone like this, I think that's the big thing from a self-management perspective, is you don't want them to take up too much real estate in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you can do that is to keep listening to this podcast, listen to Kathy saying how it works, if you can just relax and deflect, but also keep managing your own reactions and focus. If there's something about, like, are they getting too much attention? Are they looking too good? The thing you can do is then find other areas where you can shine.
Yeah.
And that's really your best recourse.
Yeah. So if you're in any kind of power struggle with somebody right now at work, or you're, you know, pissed off at them, just check your reaction for a moment, and maybe chill out and let them look like the problem, not you.
Right. Mm. And by the way, you may think you're chilling out. You may think you're being nice, but everyone can feel, and especially the other person can feel the tension.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah, so you really have to let it go. Which means you probably have to go to the gym for about a week.
Yeah.
A lot.
I agree. I think working out regularly is mm-hmm. an important aspect of dealing with this kind of person. Mm-hmm.
In fact, go take a quick walk right now while you're listening to this to chill out.
Yeah. That's it. Okay, so join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. Tweet us your stories to AskK2, follow us on Instagram, review us on iTunes, and don't forget to send your questions and stories to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
My Crazy Office is produced in New York City at K Squared Studios. Stay crazy.